Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. Our conversation today is going to be with Dario Piana, who's the director of The Deaths of Ian. Before we get to that, I just want to thank those of you who voted in our VFX poll for your favorite Super Bowl spot. I actually find it pretty interesting that the top two spots are the Coca-Cola spots. They were actually not done specifically for the Super Bowl, but the top two vote-getters nonetheless. The Coca-Cola Happiness Factory is actually one of our favorites here at FX Guide, and it's the favorite, apparently, of those of you who've done the poll as well. Again, the idea behind the poll is to find out what story you guys would like to see, and we'll go ahead and contact people to get a little bit of a making of that spot. So if you haven't already, go ahead and vote in our online FX poll. It's also about 2 weeks, 14 days before the Academy Awards. I just want to give you a heads up that next week we're going to be covering a little bit about the technical Oscars with two of the groups honored for the technical achievements. That's going to be ILM as well as the folks from the Foundry in London. So both our podcast and our online story will be featuring them. Now this week, as I mentioned, our continuing blogging or diary of the Deaths of Ian production is continuing with part three. And Mike Seymour caught up with director Dario Piana. He's directing the Stan Winston production. Dario actually came from an advertising background. He worked at J. Walter Thompson for several years, then left to form his own production company and started working on commercials and working his way up to even more prominent commercials, where he had the opportunity to actually work with several really high-profile DOPs as well as actors. And he actually won or has won several Gold Lions at the Cannes Advertising Festival. We actually have a link to one of them from the Booth Company that he did, one they did for Ariston. So if you want to check out the online story, we've got a link to one of his spots there. Filming for The Deaths of Ian has actually wrapped at this point in time, but while they were shooting in London, Mike Seymour was able to convince Dario to come off set during a break and fill us in about how the production was going.
So thank you very much for joining us. How's the shoot going in London?
The shooting is going very well at the moment. We're in a hurry every day because dealing with timing is always difficult, but we got a great shot. Everybody's very happy, and everything looks fantastic. So we're very happy about what we're doing now.
Your background is very visual. You have a history with going way back to drawing and stuff, which means I believe you've been doing much of your own in pre-production, much of your own storyboarding. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I was an illustrator and comic book illustrator or storyboard artist before being a director. So I always loved movies. And about the very beginning of my career, I was, like I said, an illustrator and comic book drawer. And as soon as I started to go into the film industry, my visual background comes from, visual aesthetical background comes from that side. And the technical background comes from editing, but because I start in editing field. So that's good because it gives you a very good sense of what we're going to do on the set, very precise, very professional. And in the meantime, you can have a very visual approach on the frame, on the look of the film. So that's a good mix.
How did you find the concept art? Was the when you came to the project, how developed was the actual look of the story?
Originally, I think the story was, I was very intrigued by the story because I'm not only, I am a very big fan of science fiction stuff, horror movies, but not completely. I like movie also, drama, funny movies, so I'm not particularly deep into it, just an horror movie, but this was a very good story because it's not just based, and it's not a slasher movie, just based on a monster killing people. It's a lot based on the character. It's a character-driven movie, so the first part of the movie, we don't see any monster, just this guy throwing a different life every day. So very creepy concept, and very based on the reaction of actors, on the mood of the situation, the timing of the situation, the suspense. It's not based on the monster. And when the monsters show up, there's two things I like. The first is they are a brand new monster. They are not nothing we've seen before. They're not vampires or zombies that you've already seen. They're completely new brand monster. And they are character driven too, so because they talk, they are driven by their own fear, their own anger, and they have their own sensibility. In one way, they are very cruel, but at the same time, they are better human. So they are the harvested leader wants Ian back with her. So it's a kind of story about jealousy and get rid of some addiction, that's not easy in life. So when addiction tried to bring you back into it. So I like this story because a lot of back history behind it, just as a monster movie. As a monster movie works very well because when the actor and plays the role of the monster, the great characters, you know, many great performers, they're even better than just jumping up from the darkness and killing people. And visually, we are going to shoot the movie not as a horror movie in the sense that you're creating creepy mood, but just every single place is a real place, is real offices, real houses, real corridor, real street. So there's nothing built to create suspense. So it's even more creepy that this creature, ancient creature, they move and they act in a very normal natural universe.
Yeah, I must admit, I was lucky enough to get a copy of the script, and as I was going through it, I found that rather than just having the bad guys, I started to having real questions about the motivation of the bad guys, which makes for a very interesting film when you're kind of curious to see it from both points of view. I'm very interested to see how you deal with that.
Yeah, in fact, we announced the first script. It was more action driven. The first part is basically the same, you know, the different lights, and then became more action driven. But when we go into the project, you know, we have not such a big budget to do it, so we have to compete with people that have $100 million movies to do special effects. They're not big fans of it. So I say, why would we drive more the story with the characters? So Medea is a very strong motivation. He was the leader of the monster. He wants Ian back. They are very intelligent monster. They are not a kind of god. They can create time, change situation. They can hide themselves. So they're very powerful. So I see them a kind of very primal tribe of people. They want Ian back. And the second level is the jealousy of Medea. They want Ian back because she can't believe that Ian falls in love with a human being. So at the end of the day, love is stronger than fear. So because the love can change. And basically, Ian doesn't change into a human. He became a good avatar at the end. So I think it's a very good story with a big twist at the end. So that's what intrigued me a lot. I think people are intrigued more by the story than the effects today.
Yes, I completely agree. And tell me, in terms of the working out for the visual effects, how did you go about, was it done with storyboarding? Were you doing your own stuff? Did you do stuff in 3D? How did you sort of work out how to?
I did all of my storyboard precisely since the beginning, and I developed the creative visual with Stan Winston. At the very beginning in the street, there was just shadows, so they're not so very clearly. So as soon as I got into the project, I saw her as a primal tribe with this long hair, so create them a kind of sexy, nasty beast, not just monster shadows. And as soon as we get into it, originally we planned that they, because they live in another plane, we planned to do it with the hair floating all the time, like they were in the water, you know what I mean, even if there's no wind, nothing. But dealing with the budget sometimes is difficult because it's very expensive. So we decided to go ahead creating the a lot of in-camera mood, not try to make something that is not achievable with the budget, but to try to be matrix if you can. So it's a lot of stuff that she's creating in the camera, with cut, with the darkness, you know what I mean? Just a very, very few piece of CGI. We're not creating a CGI creative at all because they're real person, real characters. So now, we're watching the dailies, they're great because when they interact together, the actors and the character interact very well because they are into the scene, into the frame. They're not, we don't have the actor dealing with the blue screen and two small balls that pretend to be the eyes, you know, the monsters. So I think at the end of the day, having a restriction of the budget makes even a better project because there's nothing that is wrong at the end. They say, oh, they don't have money to do it. It's perfect. A film that looks like in the rush is perfect because everything is in camera, emotional, and the darkness is great. The monster, when they move, they're great. Sometimes you shoot in reverse to make them moving in a very strange way. It works very well. It works very well.
And darkness plays a big role, especially in the beginning of the film. And you've actually worked extensively with your director of photography, haven't you? You have a long working relationship.
It's a big relation because I've done more than 450 commercials, and I think 80% of them was done by him. Groening was younger as my personal DP, and we do a lot of work together the last 10-12 years. So there's a very good relation between me and him. And I'm very keen on the light because coming from visual style, I know exactly how the light works. So I put my camera in the position that the light works the best. So he's very happy to do it. And we get very fast to create a very, very, very rich film, even if you're not losing time to do it. You know? so the connection is very, 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 very. We were trained to do this together, so we can save time and quality.
Can you tell me how important it is having the Stan Winston visual effects people, the practical special effects people on set? Because they're obviously renowned for their special effects makeup and creature work.
I think they're great. I think he was one of the greatest people I ever had in my career, because they're amazing. I know Stan Winston since I was younger, because I know everything he did, because like Monster, like all this kind of movie, he did the best in the world, so he's the best in the world. So I the first time I met him, I was very emotional, a big emotion for me, more than meeting a big director, because for me he's a master, you know what I mean? He's a kind of myth. I say, wow, an icon like him. I was impressed. I was so nice person. He likes so much my work. And they can give me, when I met their people, the people that's on the set now, they're so nice, so cute. They're so affordable. They can do everything every day. They can create new stuff for me. When they say, Alex, I can do this, I can do that. Or let's think about it. Put together what they got, and put together all the wizardry they have, and they make something new on the set. And they're great, because they're going more into in-camera effects, and they're very helpful. They're great to do their own stuff, and they're very helpful, and they're very efficient, and they're a very nice person. So I'm very excited to work with them.
And so obviously there is...
Very big part of the job, very big part of the job, definitely.
And certainly there is digital effects, and there's tracking and stuff. I mean, how do you find working with your actors when they have to work with things that aren't there yet?
To be honest, in the film there is very few digital effects at the moment. So I think the actor is just announcing the play sometime when they've grown up from the character. There's a couple of blue screen when they can be together, very few blue screen, and there is wire removal. So even the effects when they're flying, I think they're all in camera. So I think they don't have any problem, because they don't feel really to deal with some digital effects in the film. They are just supportive for what you're doing on the film. And that's good for the actor. They don't have any problem, because really we don't have so much stuff that will be done in post. It's just announcing the stuff you're just shooting in camera.
Can you tell us a little about your leading cast? Because they actually have quite a lot of experience in effects films, don't they?
Sorry, excuse me?
Could you just tell us a bit about your leading cast members, your leading actors? Because they actually have experience in effects films, don't they?
Yeah, because we did the recent Poseidon, so to be honest, we are very rushed at the end to find the people, and they say, I like him very much. I never met him, but I like him, and we are very keen about him, because he did a lot of special effects stuff and physical stuff. And when I met him, he was very surprised, because even better than everybody thought, he's such a good actor, too. He's not just only good with his physical stuff. And I'm very happy, because the film is based on his acting more than his stuff, but... Because it's very good working with the effects. You know exactly the problem we have, you know what I mean? So it's very helpful to connect all the stuff that we've done before with the stand, or maybe we've done with the blue stain, maybe with a couple of wires. I'm coming from editing. I know exactly what I'm going to edit at the end, so sometimes I do stuff that doesn't make sense for an actor to say, why I have to do this? Because, no, don't worry, because we cut in the middle, so we understand very well the process and the continuity of this kind of process. So at the end, when we cut together the film, it looks very good. It's very good when he's dying, you know what I mean? It looks strange, but it's very difficult to be believable in that situation. He's doing very well. He's doing very well. So he's a very good actor, because in the emotional part, in the acting part, he's perfect. He has a great face, because I think the camera loves him a lot. And he's very good in physical stuff, so it can be better for me, to be honest.
And I wanted to ask you on a completely different level about the role of colour in the film, because obviously we've mentioned that there's shadows. Do you have any plans for doing stuff in the grading of the film? Is there anything that you've been doing on set with eye to how you're going to grade the film at the end?
Yes, because for me, visual the film is very important, the grading is very important, the photography is very important. We are trying to make, because the film is getting darker and darker and darker, we are trying to start the film in a very clean way. The office is, I think, very clean, very, very natural way. Not so much color. We don't put so much color in the film, not because it's made moody, you know what I mean? Sometimes moody the film is treated in a very moody way. After 2 years, is old, you know what I mean? I see some film like Jacob's Ladder, film 15 years old, they're still perfect because they're very natural. So I love natural light, elegant but natural. So everything became elegant in the film, the stylish, is because the place is like that, because the light comes from the right direction. At the beginning of the film, it will be very clean. As soon as you go into the drama, it became more and more dark, and more dark till the end. So the grading will follow all the story till the darkness of the very end.
And the film is going to have a digital grade. Will the DOP be involved in that process? Does your DOP get involved with the final DI grading?
Oh, we will be involved because for us the final grading is the 50% of the quality of the film, so we not leave to somebody else, definitely. And me and my DP will be on top of it all the time. So because we go to create what we're shooting, we want to be the same stuff on the film. So what I mean, it's very important, not just the photography, just to see things. It's very important to get the mood of the film, the tone of the film. So it's part of the creative process. So the director, the DP starts on the set, finish on the grading. He's not finished his job on the set. So it's very important.
And while I've got you on that subject, any comments on what you're going to do with the audio, with the music and the scoring of the film?
Definitely the soundtrack will be, the sound effects will be amazing, because I think we create a lot of the stuff with the is not seen in the camera, it's outside the camera, because the limited amount of money we have, we can create every single effect. So as soon as we set up the effects of the blades going up, the screech of the monster, the disintegration of the monster, the movement, the things that they do, the sound that they do when they move. So as soon as we create, establishing some shots, has to be used the outer frame to create the same effect. So I think the sound effects will be a big part of the film. At the moment, I'm just thinking about creating a not so traditional score, but trying the editing and put it together. Traditional score helps the film become a little bit more adult than just our movie. We are just dealing with this at the moment, but I'm not sure about it. I think we're going to have a kind of very simple score instead of just sound effects. But it's not the final decision at the moment.
Without giving away the story, it obviously becomes quite a complex editing job because of the nature of being in different environments and what's happening in the story. And as I said, I don't want to give away the story in any way, shape or form, but in terms of the editing, how long are you sort of allowing yourself just to get the edit down?
To be honest, I think it would be not a big problem because if you're coming from editing, using two cameras, I get a lot of stuff to the editor. The editor will say, wow, I have a lot of stuff I never had before. So you start putting together the scene and it looks good. It looks like my storyboard because coming from editing, when I make the storyboard, it's already edited, you know what I mean? And obviously, the editing would be even more complex because you have more stuff, but basically they will not get going so far from what I've drawn before. I don't think it would be a long process because everything is very, very clear from the beginning. I haven't shot a lot of stuff that I don't know where I come to editing because I'm just shooting, thinking, directed to the editing. So all the stuff shot is very clear for the editor. I've seen the first rough cut, the assembly of the stuff is already very close to what the final one, and I'm very happy about this.
Dara, did you say you're using two cameras to pick up a lot of this action?
Yeah, I use two cameras all the time, and sometimes three cameras when you have action, so you can have different angles at the same time, and for the continuity is always the best. But because I was always been a camera operator in my film since the last 20 years, sometimes I get into the camera because while shooting in action, especially in action shot more than in dialogue, because I can move the camera in different angles, so because I know I can edit a close-up or a face of Ian or a wide shot, so maybe we can start with a wide shot, and while they are doing the action, I can cut back, close up on the blade, or close up on the face. In one shot, I can have three different takes because I know what I'm going to shoot. So the editor has also two cameras, but sometimes in a camera, and actually sees more than one cut because knowing what I'm going to do helped me a lot to stay in the camera, to create at the moment different cuts.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us. What have you got scheduled for this afternoon for shooting? Is
afternoon, I think we finished a green screen for a train shot when it goes over Ian, and then we start shooting a parking lot sequence when the monster is chasing Ian running away from the employment office.
Well, we look forward to talking to you later as you get further into the post area, and thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's great of Dario to take a moment off a busy set to talk with us here at Effects Guide, and we also have at the bottom of the article on Effects Guide, we actually have links to the previous articles we've done about the deaths of Ian, so you can check out those if you haven't seen them already. Once again, mentioned next week, we'll be taking a look at the technical Oscars because the Academy Awards are about 2 weeks away. But until that point, please drop by the website, vote in our FX poll, and we'll see you in the forums. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.